Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Respiratory. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team and two patients on the best practices to achieve early diagnosis and maintain the quality of life of adolescents and adults with later onset spinal muscular atrophy, or SMA. In this activity, an SMA specialist, a general neurologist, a physical therapist, and two adults living with SMA discuss how a multidisciplinary approach can tackle the key challenges in maintaining quality of life for patients with later onset SMA. We cover the clinical presentation and diagnosis and the transition from pediatric to adult healthcare services. Financial support for this medical educational activity has been provided to Touch IME by an independent educational grant from Genentech, a member of the Roche Group, and Novartis Gene Therapies Incorporated. In this podcast, an SMA specialist, a young adult with SMA type 3, an older adult with SMA type 3, and a physical therapist discuss the role of the multidisciplinary team in the maintenance of health and quality of life in adult patients with SMA.
Hello, everyone. My name is Claudia Chiriboga. I'm professor of neurology and pediatrics at Columbia University Medical Center and a member of the SMA Clinical Research Center there. Today, I am joined by Mr. Hugo Trevino, a young adult living with SMA type 3 from Illinois, and Mr. Jim Willison, an adult living with SMA from Ohio. Also joining us is Dr. Lisa Fukusato, who's instructor of clinical physical therapy from the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. Welcome all. Today, we will be discussing how to support patients with SMA in working with their multidisciplinary care team to optimize their quality of life. Before going on further, let me just provide a little bit of background information of what the ideal setting for neuromuscular patients would be, and that is the multidisciplinary clinic, which many centers have, but they're not universally available. But in the ideal setting, it is centers where there are numerous specialists in various disciplines, all pertaining to neuromuscular care, who meet at the same time so that patients with neuromuscular disorders can go to one session where they can see the neurologist, the physical therapist, cardiologist, genetic counseling, sometimes nutritionists, some have social workers in counseling, and a number of specialists that can provide all the care they need in one single visit, which for people with mobility issues can be difficult if you have to provide or obtain this service piecemeal. So before going further, let me just inquire on Hugo and Jim. And Hugo, let's start with you as to how you have seen the benefit or lack thereof with multidisciplinary clinic in the course of your journey with SMA from a younger person to now the young adult that you are.
Sure. Thank you so much. So one of the big differences that I saw from when I was younger was that in elementary school and in high school, physical therapy was kind of built into the program, right, of my schooling. It was provided by my district. But as soon as I graduated and went on to college, this became something that I needed to make sure that I was seeking out along with my multidisciplinary care to make sure that my quality of life was getting good and so, or continuing to stay well. And so I remember when I would see my doctors, neurologist or cardiologist, pulmonologist, and I would tell them about certain aches or certain things that were happening, that they were constantly like, okay, let's bring in a physical therapy, have them do a quick little evaluation, and then they would write me a referral so that I can continue to get physical therapy and stop contractures, which that is the main key thing that all adult patients need to realize, that as a disability, as it plateaus, it will continue to progress even slightly. And one of the big things that can affect us are contractures. And so we really need to work with a physical therapist, such as like Dr. Fukuzato, to make sure that we're understanding, you know, how is that going to impact us with transfers, right? When someone is helping us get in and out of bed, and also just to help us understand our body, our aches, so that we know what is normal, what's not normal. And so that even if we have limited sessions with a physical therapist, that we are able to have our personal assistants, our personal care assistants, be able to assist us in everyday life so that they know the proper placement of, you know, how to hold up our leg, how to do a proper stretch in your arm, you know, how to do proper hip flexors, which are all key areas that do gain contractures.
Well, I'm glad you see the benefit of physical therapy, because so often, especially young men in college, don't see the benefit of engaging in physical therapy, not realizing that spending all their time in a wheelchair will result in contractures in certain postures that will make it difficult to have mobility. So before we go to Dr. Fukuzato, Jim, what has your experience been as a younger person? And I know you started with your diagnosis as an adult, and it has progressed a bit more slowly. What has your experience been with physical therapy, multidisciplinary clinics, if you had need of those, and how has that evolved over time?
Well, over time is a long time for me. I did my first doctoring in 1977, so I've been battling this disease quite a long time, even before there was a confirmed diagnosis of it. For me, I've always been an athlete, and we enjoyed outdoor sports, hunting, fishing, things like that. So I've always been engaged in physical activities throughout my life. And so when things started to manifest in 77, that's when I went to the gym. I thought, surely if I lift 100 pounds 10 times, that would cure me. Obviously, that's not the case. But I've always maintained a gym membership since then. So for me, physical therapy is important, and I've gone to physical therapists, but I also maintain a gym membership. There are 100 machines where I go, and I use 3 of them. And I'm very careful about how I use those 3. I don't use them the way they're designed. I use them in a way that is beneficial to me, so that my muscles are moved, so that my joints are extended, and so that I don't hurt myself. So for me, being engaged in some type of physical activity not only benefits me from a physical standpoint, but also mental. So it's critically important to stay engaged and stay moving.
Lisa, would you care to comment on these dual approaches to maintaining physical fitness and just engaging with any kind of mobility and strengthening exercises?
Yes, definitely. I think that physical therapy is a great tool, and I'm happy to hear that you both have had positive experiences. For those who may not be coming from an athletic background or perhaps have developed symptoms earlier on, physical therapy can really guide your home exercise program or your gym program as your body is evolving and can maintain your safety in doing activities independently. And additionally, it's important to continue to go to physical therapy periodically throughout the years in order to modify those plans and those home programs that you do have established with your body changes, and to sort of take a preventative approach and sort of slow that progression and make sure that you're safe about it.
One aspect that I find that isn't given a lot of weight, but I think is very important, is the fact that weight gain really interferes with mobility and any kind of response that individuals might have to treatment, even because they're carrying the extra weight. And interestingly enough, a lot of even our GI specialists don't understand that when patients with SMA show their percentile curves, when they are at the 5th percentile is when they have about median amount of fat. So they tend to want to get a higher rate of percentiles in weight, but that just is contributing fat. So keeping patients lean on the lower 5th percentile, let's say, of BMI, allows them to participate for longer periods of time, allows them to interact, and makes it easier for everybody for transitioning, because they will have greater difficulty with mobility and turning and even weight carrying if they carry that extra weight. In your site, does that is that something that is worked on in addition to everything else that we were talking about?
Yes, we have a multidisciplinary team as well. And we have a nutritionist on board. I think that that's a really critical point you make. And we also encourage patients to include that aerobic aspect of training into their program. It's not only about flexibility and contracture management prevention or strength maintenance, but also weight maintenance and aerobic health. So aerobic exercise is definitely a critical component of the physical therapy rehabilitation program, and communication with your team members, your neurologist, the nutritionist. As a PT, I advocate for my patients, but we also encourage patients to seek those services themselves.
Any other points that either Hugo or Jim would like to make?
For me, it's staying engaged. It's making sure that you take advantage of opportunities and participate. To me, that's key.
Hugo here. So for me, I think that it's so important to continue to keep a relationship with a physical therapist, because physical therapists, not only will they help you stay healthy, but they can also be a great source for you to get durable medical equipment, right? Which will also help you like with your lung function. It'll help you with pressure sores. It'll help you like even with like improved hygiene, you know, as well. Like if you're kind of getting active, right, and like moving around, that also reminds you, you know, to like, you know, just, you know, stay like to make sure that you're like showering more, things like that. Like at least, you know, I always, you know, that's another thing too, that I always really helps me so that I'm able to move more freely and not, you know, have a hard time when personal assistants are helping me. Physical therapy will also help with your bone density. It'll also help with like circulation, digestion. And once again, the biggest thing is preventing contractures. And so, you know, when you're thinking about physical therapy, it's not, you know, I love that Dr. Fukuzato said that, you know, you have to think about your plan. It's not just something that you're doing once a year or something that you're doing every 5 years when you need a new wheelchair. This relationship should be ongoing to make sure that, you know, you're constantly meeting your needs for different points in your life.
I wish to thank Hugo and Jim for sharing your experience and Dr. Fukuzato for her expertise. Thank you all. Wish to thank the audience as well for listening in with us. You can find out more about the management of patients with later onset SMA in the other short videos in this activity. Thanks again to everybody.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Respiratory at www.touchrespiratory.com. Don't forget, there are two other chapters in this series. These will give you further insights on this topic from the multidisciplinary team.